but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a 0.08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a 0.08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
It'll be Oregon, it'll be Indiana at Autzen Stadium, big-time football game. I used to cover Indiana. They didn't play in a lot of big-time football games, but they've got one at Autzen Stadium against the Ducks on Saturday. Should be a lot of fun, great atmosphere. Here to talk about that and a whole bunch of other stuff, Oregon Athletic Director Rob Mullins is joining us. Indiana, Oregon, how you feeling?
I'm excited. You know, these are big games, top 10 matchup at Autzen Stadium. I'm glad we're at home.
Yeah, give me an idea of what, like, a home game versus a road game is in your world, because there's a lot of operations that go into a home game, and how different does it feel for you versus you're getting on a plane later today or a charter later today to go somewhere else?
Yeah, there's a lot more at home games, as you could imagine. You know, we're thinking about that fan experience from the time they leave the garage and till they pull back into that garage. So every step along the way, outside the lines, there's a lot going on when you're at home games, traffic, concessions, ticket lines, parking. You know, so every bit of that we're talking about and thinking about at home games. You know, obviously there's a lot less of that on the road.
How would that work, let's just say hypothetically, if you get to host a college football playoff first-round game? Do you make all that planning well in advance as this year is unfolding, or is that just kind of on the fly and, you know, everybody knows what to do? How does that work?
It's probably too complicated to do on the fly. So you do some of that planning, and, you know, obviously the CFP, you know, sends you all of their requirements for sponsors and other things. So you have a committee of that preparing in the event that you do have the opportunity to host a home game, which would be a heck of a lot of fun.
Can you give us a kind of a ballpark on what those games are worth to the average school? Is, you know, an opening round game, is there a number yet?
I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't think there is. I think the CFP gets most of it back. I know you get a stipend to run the event to make sure that obviously you have everything you need. And then, you know, the majority of the ticket revenue goes back to the CFP. And I think you get a share for, like everybody does in one of those games.
Rob Mullins with us, University of Oregon Athletic Director. There's been a lot of talk about private equity, private capital, the Big Ten working on something. What's your view on that, or what's Oregon's position right now as the Big Ten explores all that?
Well, first, our position is we're very happy to be proud to be members of the Big Ten and to have outstanding leadership in Commissioner Petitti, the presidents and chancellors of the 18 institutions, and then my colleagues as ADs. And, you know, the college athletics landscape has shifted significantly over the last few years, and we all are pursuing every opportunity to modernize the operation in every way possible. And I just appreciate the leadership of Tony to make sure that the Big Ten stays at the forefront.
Is that, you know, is it a cautious step that these schools are taking? I'm not just talking about Big Ten or you guys, but in general, as colleges open the door for private capital, how cautious do you have to be? We all know it's a business. These are businesses. There's a lot of money involved.
Yeah.
But there's still this academic part of the schools and this higher learning thing going on in the background. How cautious do you think schools are going to have to be and conferences have to be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're student athletes first. And of our 500 student athletes, you know, the majority of them, you know, are going to do everything they can to take advantage of their NIL and to prepare to play professionally, but are likely going to be in a profession other than their sport. But, you know, while we're here, because it has become much more complicated, and you're looking for ways, you know, to modernize the commercialization. So, yeah, you would proceed very cautiously on anything that you're doing new. But probably, you know, equally important is to be very thorough in your review, because you do want to make sure that you can compete. And right now, the game has changed over the last few years. It's largely about resources. And you need the resources, or at least a baseline of resources, to compete at a high level. And that's very difficult.
The baseline of resources that you need, that thing's moved, right? Like, you know, when you got in this business.
Daily.
Okay, so daily it's moving. How challenging is that for you? Because you've got a budget, and you're budgeting a moving target.
It's extremely difficult, you know, because, you know, before it was, you know, we had scholarship limits, and if you could provide the maximum allowable scholarships under the NCAA rules, you know, that created somewhat of a playing field. And then you were, you know, investing in coaches' salaries and facilities and student athlete experience with all the extra support, nutrition, mental health, concierge medicine, you name it. And now you have this other element of, you know, you got $20.5 million of internal revenue share, which is a baseline to compete at the top. And then you got to strategically allocate that. But even above that, you know, the new frontier to compete at the highest level is, you know, what infrastructure are you setting in place to help your student athletes, you know, get third party true NIL that passes through the NIL Go system? Because, you know, that's what's going to set you apart.
Rob Mullins with us, Oregon Athletic Director. Okay, you say student athletes. A lot of people say student athletes. I was talking to Dylan Gabriel on this show last year, and I said, oh, you know, this is great. Isn't it great how simple your life is as a college kid? And, you know, when you turn pro next year, it's going to get a lot more complicated. And he says, John, I don't know how to tell you this. He says, we're pros. We're the pros. This is the pros now. These guys are making money. Why is it important to you and others? You're not the only one to call them student athletes still. Is that an old NCAA habit, or is that a mandate? What's going on with that?
No, neither. Nice try, though. But I still think that's the priority, John. I mean, listen, we're connected to the academic mission. We're a part of the academy. And yes, there will be a handful of student athletes who are high earners now while they're in college. But the majority of student athletes, this will be the highest level they play. And we all know the value of a degree and the experience of being an Oregon student and an Oregon student athlete. So okay. I still think it's an appropriate term.
I am interested in the general manager philosophy. Do you think, and again, as a moving target, because House settlement changed some things here, but should each sport have a GM, or is there a GM over your revenue generating sports that's really important, and then maybe a multitude of other sports have a GM that how do you sort of segment that at Oregon?
So here it's by sport, and while we didn't go create 20 new positions that we titled GM, we had people in those sports, whether on the recruiting side or the team ops side or the coaching side, you know, that added that, because they were already really being the people that were, you know, talent acquisition, if you will. And we supported them with the resources administratively, you know, if they have rev share on how to execute that, you know, educate on the rules, how to execute that, how to monitor that. And we have lots of tools to do that.
You also, you know, that GM's got to deal with agents, got to deal with parents, got to deal with teenage kids who all, some of which might think their market value is higher than it really is. And that job is really interesting to me. I give me some Advil before I do that job, but I think it's really it. But can you model it after pros, like an NFL general manager? Is that a totally different animal?
I think it's there are some similarities, right? And those people in those roles were already dealing with, you know, the recruiting relationships, the parent relationships, the student-athlete relationships. And over the last few years, you know, now that it's permissible, you can add the agents. You know, probably the complicating factor for the collegiate part is the transfer portal, right? You know, in pros, you have a draft, You have a set time of free agency. You have no tampering rules that are pretty severe. None of those exist in college athletics. So that's the part that's probably most difficult.
Rob Mullins with us, Oregon Athletic Director. The joy of a victory, you see coaches like Dan Lanning, you know, he was exuberant on the field at Penn State. I saw you down there too. It has to feel really good. What does that feel like when you're, you know, you've invested a lot of your time, effort, and energy, and you're getting the result on the field with a coach that you hired?
Yeah, obviously it's exciting to see, you know, the coaches and student athletes. You've been behind the scenes, John. You know how much they put into this in the off season, in the season, and all that goes into it. So it's fun for me to see them have that joy, especially in a big game, intense moments, and to have that success. It is a lot of fun. And, you know, those post-game locker rooms after wins of any kind are a lot of fun, largely because of all that goes into that with the coaches, the staff, and the student athletes. You want them, you know, when there's a good process doesn't always guarantee good result, but when good process has good result, it's a bonus.
All right, you guys are flying. Were you flying out of Happy Valley? You flying out of Harrisburg? Where'd you guys fly out of?
So we flew into State College, yeah. But had to fly out of Harrisburg because of fuel load. So we bused back over to Harrisburg to depart.
So the adrenaline as you're leaving, you know, the stadium, you're leaving Beaver Stadium in those buses, I imagine it's not quiet on the bus, that people are still kind of buzzing around a little bit. Like 90 minutes, an hour? How long before everybody kind of settles down or the energy changes?
It was probably, so we, you know, you got all the post-game media stuff. Time you get out of there, you're another hour, hour and a half after the game before you're moving. And then the ride to Harrisburg was probably an hour and a half. So I'd say, you know, probably that 2.5 hours. By the time we got to the plane, it probably settled down. But, yeah, you're recounting the plays, looking at the scores of other games. There's just a lot of chatter about recapping the game, and there is a ton of energy.
What was your favorite part of that double overtime win?
The end. Having six more points than anybody.
Right. Yeah, but you know
what? It was fun to be on the field and just see, you know, because it the way it ended in that big interception, and it, you know, it all happened so fast. And then just to see all the reaction and you know, there were so many, you were down there, you saw there, yeah. The players had given so much on both sides. You know, players were exhausted. They had left everything on the field. And then just to see the joy after, you know, getting the results.
What I liked about it was, you know, I felt like you guys won the game kind of in regulation, even though you were tied. Then you lost the lead. There was a real moment of resilience there and mettle. And then you fall behind in that overtime, and then you come back and tie it, and then you make the play. It just, you know, I love narratives, right? And I love watching great stories. It said a lot about your guys that they just kept playing despite some adverse conditions in that crowd. And, you know, I don't think the crowd was that loud. I think Autzen's louder, but the crowd, visually, it was stunning.
No doubt. And then, you know, to play that first overtime into the teeth of the student section, which is probably 20 or 25,000 people, was pretty, yeah. And because there was, you know, the amount of action in the last part of the fourth quarter and then the two overtimes, you know, there's just a lot of drama and a lot of intense moments. And it was fun to see, you know, that our sideline just stay locked in and stay focused. And that's part of the culture. That's part of the process that we get to see built here every single day in the off season, during the season, and then to see it play out in those moments when it's most needed is pretty powerful.
I had a sit down with your president, you know, I think it was a year ago or so, and we talked about Autzen, and he's excited because he's, you know, he was at Wisconsin previously, and we started talking about the size of Autzen Stadium. You and I have talked about this before. You got a little bit of sample size. I don't know what your ticket sales are like for Saturday, but it feels like you could use 5,000 more seats in there, 7,000 more seats, or maybe some upgraded club or suites that you could upsell. It feels like there's some money out there for University of Oregon. Where do you stand on kind of look at Autzen Stadium and maybe an upgrade or more seats there?
Yeah, well, we love Autzen Stadium. It is a tremendous home field advantage and tremendous experience, and it'll be sold out on Saturday and trending very close to a sold out for the rest of the year. We'll have standing room only in there on Saturday. So it'll be packed. It'll be loud. And that's something we are always studying. You know, we're in the middle of a significant facility project right now. I can see out my window in our new indoor football practice facility. And then once we do get through that, obviously we'll start. We're always thinking about Autzen. But now we have this new $20.5 million line item.
Yeah.
And the financial pressures of what can we do to increase our base, find third-party NIL to support our student athletes. And so, you know, that, you know, the formula has changed a little bit, but we will always, because football generates 80% of the revenue here. Autzen is our economic engine. And obviously we want to make sure that we're staying, you know, at the forefront with our fan experience in Autzen, particularly as we're having success.
Could you ever imagine a brand new stadium, or would it always be, what could you do to Autzen?
It would always be, what can you do to Autzen? It's a special place. And we want to make sure that we, you know, continue to have that huge home field advantage that it presents to itself. You know, there are some limitations, you know, because of number of parking spaces and traffic, you know, just the road infrastructure. That's one of the things that I thought you captured well. When you look out at Penn State and you just see tailgating forever, the amount of parking in proximity to the stadium is pretty impressive.
You need to buy up all those neighborhoods around Autzen is what you guys need to do and create parking structures. And it just feels like they're like, you know, ideally, do you have a sense of if you had unlimited seats, how many you could sell, like, you know, for Saturday's game?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's always complicated with that is, you know, obviously we're a top five football program in a top 10 matchup. But you always want to make sure that you have the number that's right, that you're packed and you keep the atmosphere, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever want to overbuild. But when it's rolling, yeah, sure, there probably is some left on the table. But, you know, I think for us, you know, with the road infrastructure, the parking, you know, as we look at it, you know, in delivering the kind of experience that we want to deliver, there may be a few more thousand there, but I don't think it's significant.
Is there, you know, some upgrades? Because I as I go around to some of these stadiums, I do see, you know, there are stadiums around the country that are building up the suites and the clubs, and it feels like maybe is that the bigger opportunity or the bigger area that you might explore?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think our real opportunity is in differentiated premium. So we have outstanding suites, you know, 40 on the south side, 10 on the north side. We have an awesome club on the south side. But I think there would be an opportunity to us, you know, you see Lowe's suites, living room suites. You know, you've seen all sorts of new products that have been introduced in the last 10 to 15 years. And I do, we've done some work with Legends in surveying our fan base. And there obviously is a market and some interest in, you know, something that's more than a one seat in the club or a 25 seat suite. You know, there's a lots of opportunities in between there that we probably need to address.
Rob Mullins with us, Oregon Athletic Director. I had Mario Cristobal on Monday, and we talked about, you know, his time at Oregon, and obviously he left for Miami. And I got to thinking about you because it was such a interesting time. It might not have, that might not be the right word for you, but it was an interesting time to kind of watch when, you know, Mark Helfrich is removed. Willie Taggart is hired. Taggart leaves in a year. I want to go back to that time. You're left, you know, Taggart's gone. You're trying to hold a recruiting class together. What made you pick Mario Cristobal at that time? Because now, in hindsight, it looks like he's the bridge to Dan Lanning. You don't get to Lanning without Cristobal.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. That's one way to put it for sure. You know, and the sequence was difficult, right? Because we had Oregon football had a lot of success in built-in succession plans, and that's exactly what we had. It didn't work out. You know, and that change is difficult because it's not just one position change. You know, you're talking 30 positions that are changed, and that's difficult. And then, you know, I think Willie did set some things in motion for us. And fortunately, we were able to observe Mario and his leadership, you know, on the year with Willie's staff, could see the player connection. I think you're probably aware there were a lot of players that were, you know, that felt Mario should have an opportunity. And we went through the process. He was a candidate, as were a lot of others. But, you know, his passion, his the way that he laid out how we needed to build a recruiting infrastructure to get us to where we wanted to be, given his experience in Tuscaloosa, was, you know, kind of moved the needle for us. And that's what we set out to do.
Yeah, it couldn't have been easy. I mean, because you're in that spot, you look at Cristobal's track record and you go, okay, what can he do with our resources? How important was it just to hold the recruiting class together, just that piece of it?
Yeah, that's always a piece of it. I mean, you got to be careful not to, you know, to overweight that, but that is a piece of it, as is the current roster. And, you know, making sure that you're going to continue to build on the foundation that was laid in that 7-6 season. And we felt that he was the best person to do that and continue to just, you know, put the right culture in place, put the right infrastructure for the support staff, really the recruiting staff in place, to enable us to climb those national recruiting rankings.
Well, it's going to be fun when you guys play Miami in a playoff game, and it'll be, the storylines will be there, and it'll be a little poetic too, I think. It'll be a, you know, full circle moment for you. Hey, congrats on everything. I'll see you at the stadium on Saturday, and I appreciate you joining us and updating us on things once in a while.
Great. Thanks, John. We'll see you on Saturday.
All right. There's Rob Mullins, the Oregon Athletic Director. Steven, I want to unpack it a little bit. Love the interview. I thought he was really candid there, particularly mid-interview and late in the interview as he's talking about the stadium, Autzen Stadium. They know they need to raise more money. They know they have the engine to raise it in Autzen Stadium. I think once they get through this practice facility, this football facility build-out, I think they will pivot towards the expansion or improvement of Autzen Stadium. I wouldn't be surprised to see another 1,000 or two seats added and a particular emphasis on club and suite and, as he put it, the differentiation of those suite levels. Everybody wants to have the VIP section. I think they're going to have multiple tiers of VIP seats at Autzen one day.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the question for years, is like, how big can you actually make Autzen Stadium without having it lose its, you know, I can't think of the word, but it's, you know, just the love that they have and the feeling that you get going to Autzen Stadium, that it's not like the big house. It's not like just one of these commercialized stadiums. How big can you make it and not lose it? But I think you and Rob Mullins are kind of right. Like, in these big-time games, I mean, you could sell so many more tickets to this game and make so much more money and make it that much more intimidating. And we just saw how Penn State, how they do it up close with Oregon against them. It's like, man, Oregon have that same type of thing. And they're up in that caliber of blue blood now. So you got to think about it, all options now.
The question is, how big is too big? And you don't want to add so many seats that you sort of you create a congestion, a further congestion problem around Autzen Stadium. It's not the easiest stadium to get in and out of on game day to begin with. So, you know, I would say you can't add too many seats, but you also want to keep sort of the novelty of tickets being in demand. Leave it here. Get the BFT.